are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. Hopefully you've had a great week and are gearing up for a great weekend ahead. Today, we are going to continue in the time machine. It's actually our last day in the time machine. We are only going back 5 years to the year 2015. So we'll be looking at the start of Karl Anthony Towns' career, the middle of the second Flip Saunders tenure in Minnesota, and as well as the season that Sam Mitchell was the interim head coach. So we'll talk about some of the moves that were made from a roster perspective and how Flip Saunders was setting up this team to be built. Off the top, I'd like to spend a couple minutes talking about the NBA's return to play announcement, the pros and cons of the Wolves' absence from the league gearing back up, and anything that was announced today or that has come out, or not today, but this week, I guess, in the last couple of days, related to the actual return to play agreement and the Timberwolves. So first, before we do that, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, we talked on Wednesday's podcast this week about Atlanta Hawks coach Lloyd Pierce being upset that his team was not going to be included in the NBA's return to play plan because he felt like his team needed some additional, obviously, you know, coaches are going to want additional games. They want to see their players on the court. They want to see their players develop. So we talked a little bit on Wednesday about that. That's the case for the Hawks. Is that true for the Wolves? The league board of governors approved on Thursday the return to play plan. And what we talked about Wednesday is indeed what's going to happen. There's only 22 teams that will participate. The Wolves are one of the 8 teams that will not participate. There's 13 Western Conference teams, only 9 from the East. The only two Western Conference teams that will not participate are the Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors. And so, you know, as alluded to, you know, as Lloyd Pierce said, the most obvious con to the Timberwolves not being involved is the missed opportunity to develop players further, to see some of the newcomers on the court. Remember, Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell have shared the court exactly one time as well with Malik Beasley. And I guess Towns has only played 2 games with Malik Beasley, period. And so, you know, there certainly would be some benefit to seeing those players not only play together in games, but also practice together. Some of the other cons include some, you know, what's the draft lottery going to look like exactly? It was said on Thursday that the draft lottery will be frozen in time from the middle of March. So basically the teams that end up in the lottery that don't make the playoffs, that are returning to play 8 games in July and August, they can't improve or worsen their standing in the draft lottery based on that performance. But it is still weird because, for instance, the Wolves have played 3 less games than a team like the Atlanta Hawks. And so the percentage points, it's going to be based on percentage points, but it's not entirely fair for everybody involved. But I guess there's really no obvious answer, and I guess that's why it's a con. Player pay, I mean, players are paid based on number of games played, so there theoretically could be players who are paid less because they played less games. That's also a con kind of across the board for players. And then obviously the teams lose revenue. There was a story last week that Clay Bennett, the owner of the Oklahoma City Thunder, gave an impassioned soliloquy, I think is how Adrian Wojnarowski put it in his article on ESPN last week, to the Board of Governors, to the owners last week, about how small market teams that are not included in this return to play are going to lose a ton of revenue, especially from local TV revenue, but just across the board. And by not having, basically, there'll be at least 9 months in between regular season games at the Target Center. And that's a lot of gate revenue. It's a lot of, you know, ticket revenue, season tickets, sponsorship revenue, potentially, and not to mention everything that happens once folks are in the arena, concessions, parking, et cetera, that teams like the Wolves are missing out on, and other small market teams, that even the ones that are returning to play. So there's a lot of hurdles there that are going to need to be overcome in the coming months. The pros, of course, to the Wolves not being part of this are pretty clear. Nobody can get hurt. Karl Anthony Towns was coming back from a fractured wrist. I'd like to think it's healed now. We're, you know, almost 4 months past the injury, 3.5 months or so. But there's no additional injury risk. It also protects the players from getting hurt and hurting their free agent value. For a player like Malik Beasley, for instance, he was awesome in 14 games with the Timberwolves. If he comes back and is awesome for another six games, does that increase his value at all in the free agent market? Probably not significantly, but if he comes back and gets hurt, it's really going to affect his market value significantly. So a player like Malik Beasley may not be, would not have been incentivized to play necessarily, or play hard or risk injury in those six games. Not suggesting he wouldn't have played hard, but it would be tough to find that motivation if he already is going to get paid in free agency based on his performance in a Timberwolves uniform so far. So there's not that to worry about. And there's also not this potential tanking debate. Remember, the Timberwolves were even fined by the NBA for resting a healthy D'Angelo Russell on a nationally televised game on NBA TV against the Nuggets back in late February. And the league won't need to worry about that. They won't need to worry about teams. For instance, would the Wolves have played Towns, Russell, Beasley? Would they have played them less? I think there probably would have been a middle ground, but the league would have had to figure out, you know, how involved would they want to get with each team related to their best players playing or not playing. So those things are taken off the table, and that's a clear pro. The one notable thing from the announcement on Thursday that involves the Timberwolves would be related to the teams who, well, actually there's two things I want to talk about. One is teams who are not in the tournament, I guess, quote unquote tournament, of the 22 teams who are playing. There's eight teams. And so obviously they're not traveling to Orlando. According to this summary on ESPN that was put together by Tim Bontemps and Brian Windhorst, the eight teams that are not involved are going to likely be involved in some sort of OTA, which I guess is a football term, but basically some sort of a mini camp at some point later this year, whether that be, there isn't a date listed, but I would think August or September would make sense if they're looking at starting the following season before the end of the calendar year. You know, what those look like, how mandatory the league would make them versus what the teams would do. Would it really just be like a week long training camp where they go over, you know, play sets, make sure everybody's in shape, and really touch base with everybody? Because remember, the offseason stuff happens in there too. So there's a draft lottery likely in August. The draft will happen in October. So this camp would happen before free agency. It would happen before the draft. So players who come to this camp theoretically could not be on the team next year if they're traded between then and the start of the season. So there's a lot of weird things timing wise in here. As mentioned, the draft would be in October, shortly after the end of the season. So the last date of the finals, the game seven of the NBA finals, would be October 12th. The draft itself would be October 15th. Free agency would start October 18th. And the draft lottery would be in August 25th. So only 2.5 months from now, really, or yeah, 2.5 months from now. Related to the start of the next season, everybody's kind of been talking about Christmas. The NBA apparently has multiple timelines that they're going to discuss with teams and ultimately with the Players Association. And one of the proposals has training camp starting on November 10th with opening night on December 1st, which, if you're doing the math at home, November 10th is less than a month after October 12th, which would be the potential end of the NBA Finals. So anybody who plays seven games in the finals is going to get less than a month off. Of course, you know, the obvious rebuttal to that is everybody's had basically 3 months off, and it will end up being almost 4 months off at this point. You know, at this point in the season, or this point in the calendar year, there's always a possibility of starting on Christmas. I tend to believe that's more likely. The NBA, I would think, would like that, having the day to themselves, basically, from a sports perspective. And the other wrinkle with next year is the Olympics that are now the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. How's that going to work if the league calendar shifts entirely? So there's a lot of things we still don't know, but what we do know for sure is the Timberwolves are not part of the NBA's return to play. They almost certainly will have some sort of mini camp in August or September, and that the draft lottery will be in August. And there's also some very clear pros and some very clear cons to the Timberwolves not being involved. But I think that's the best way to summarize all this from a Timberwolves perspective. But this whole thing is just going to be fascinating to see how the league handles it. We'll talk about any, you know, big news, obviously, here on this podcast, even if it's not specifically Timberwolves related. But as we begin to learn more in the next few weeks, this is going to be really fascinating to watch. All right, before we get into the time machine and head back 5 years to 2015, let's talk a little bit about Blinkist. Let me tell you about one of the ultimate life hacks. It's hard to find the time to sit down to read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need to know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestsellers lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but never had time to. I like Blinkist because 15 minutes is the perfect amount of time, whether it's commuting on my commute, I get 2 15-minute blocks. If it's a quick walk, a lunchtime workout, bringing the kids to school, whatever it is, 15 minutes is the perfect amount of time. There's tons of amazing books on there. The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss is the one I keep talking about. Also, Richard Branson has a great book, The Virgin Way, Everything I Know About Leadership. Richard Branson, also awesome. Plenty of great titles that you can listen to and get all that information in just those really bite-sized 15-minute time blocks. With Blinkist, you can get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at blinkist.com/NBA. And let's talk about Built Bar too. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's the perfect snack, tastes exactly like a candy bar. It can carry you through mid-morning snack to lunch, mid-afternoon snack to dinner, even a snack after dinner if you don't actually want to eat a candy bar after dinner, but you still have a sweet tooth and you need to eat something in the evenings. This is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, so you can't go wrong. There's 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate nut flavors, 8 chocolate nut free flavors. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate and are soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy or gal, lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. I've talked a lot about my favorite flavors, chocolate, almond, coconut, and chocolate toffee almond are my favorites right now. Mint brownie is a very close runner up to those two. The profile on the mint brownie is 15 grams of protein, only 110 calories. Again, this is a mint brownie protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. All right, let's get back in that time machine and talk 2015 Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. Before we talk about the Wolves, let's talk about the year 2015 as a whole. The top movies at the box office that year, Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Jurassic World, and Avengers Age of Ultron. Also, the top song that year was Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson with Bruno Mars. Neither of the movies or the song feel like they were 5 years ago, but I don't know. I guess it was because it was only 5 years ago. But at any rate, the price of a gallon of gas in 2015, $2.51. This was also the year when selfies became a huge deal. Selfie sticks became a thing, I guess, just prior to 2015, because that was the year that Disney banned selfie sticks from all of their theme parks worldwide. Too many people were getting hurt taking selfies and passing away, unfortunately, taking selfies. Also, in the sports world that year, the Chicago Blackhawks won the NHL Stanley Cup. The New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Royals won the MLB championship. And the Golden State Warriors won the first of their 3 NBA titles as part of their dynasty that is, I guess, somewhat ongoing with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and everybody. But this was the first of their 3 titles over a 4-year span. The Timberwolves, back in 2014 and 15, get in your time machine. This was the first post Rick Adelman year. So we talked a little bit about Rick Adelman over the past few weeks on this podcast. Rick Adelman retired following the 13-14 season. Flip Saunders had been the lead executive in the front office throughout that year in his return to Minnesota. That offseason after Edelman retired, that was when Kevin Love started making noise about wanting a change of scenery. And of course, he was still upset by not getting the full 5-year max from David Kahn several years prior. Instead, that had been saved apparently for Ricky Rubio, who of course then tore his ACL and ultimately didn't get that max contract. But that summer in 2014, the Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins trade went down. The Wolves also, of course, got Anthony Bennett and Thaddeus Young in that deal. The Wolves also extended Ricky Rubio's contract that offseason. They waived J.J. Barea just prior to the 14-15 season. And otherwise, it was largely the same roster, of course, minus Kevin Love, that had won 40 games and underachieved under Rick Adelman the previous year. Coming into the 14-15 season, the hopes were actually, I wouldn't say high, because the Wolves had just traded their best player in Kevin Love, but there was supposed to be a healthy Ricky Rubio, the first pick in Andrew Wiggins. Zach LaVine had been drafted that year. They got Thaddeus Young, who's a good player, as part of the Love deal. So there was some moderate hope that the team wouldn't be awful. Unfortunately, there were a lot of issues that year. There were a lot of injuries. Rubio sprained his ankle early in the season once again. Nikola Pekovic was hurt a lot. Kevin Martin was hurt quite a bit. The Wolves got off to a bad start and traded Corey Brewer in December of 2014 as part of the first kind of wave of moves that Flip Saunders made as GM and also as coach. I forgot to mention he hired himself as head coach that offseason after a relatively brief head coaching search. The then horribly misguided trade, the Adrian Payne trade, happened that February when Saunders was both coaching and running the front office. Saunders traded, I'm pulling up the exact trade here, but it wasn't great. He traded his first round pick, which ultimately conveyed in 2018 for Adrian Payne. So a first round pick 3 years out. It was a top 14 protected pick, conditional in 2017, related to another pick that they owed the Boston Celtics. But long story short is this thing was only top 14 protected, basically, and ultimately conveyed in 2018. It was the number 19 pick that the Hawks used to take Kevin Huerter, who has had some ups and downs over his first couple years in the league, but is a promising player. The Wolves actually right after that took Josh Okogie in 2018. But at any rate, Adrian Payne was not good, was not a good addition to the Timberwolves, and flamed out of the league basically right away over the next couple of years. So that was a bad trade. He also made a couple of minor trades. He traded for Troy Daniels and then traded away Troy Daniels and Mo Williams to get Gary Neal and a second round pick. Actually, the pick the Wolves just used this last year to take Jalen Noel. So that might actually turn out to be a fairly decent trade. And then Saunders also brought Kevin Garnett back in the fold, traded Thaddeus Young to the Brooklyn Nets for Kevin Garnett. From an asset usage perspective, it was not a great trade. Thaddeus Young was a good player, borderline starter on a playoff team type player who could guard a couple of different positions. And was on a reasonable contract, but the Wolves traded him straight up for Kevin Garnett, who had a year left on what was a fairly bloated contract for a player who at that point was a 15 to 20 minute player, a solid defender, but pretty much only an open jump shooter from the mid-range on offense at that stage in his career. But the Wolves made the move. It set up the emotional return against the Washington Wizards, a game the Wolves won easily. We've talked about this on this podcast. You can find that intro and that game on YouTube. It's awesome if you haven't seen it. Garnett's return to the Target Center. So that set up that moment. Saunders at the, it felt really like a PR type move. Remember, he was involved in the front office as well at this point. But Saunders was trying to reinstill this culture of mentorship with the team. And so this was one of the first steps in doing that. And to patch things up with Kevin Garnett seemed to be a really smart move. Later in that offseason, following the 14-15 season, I guess I should mention that the result from that season, it wasn't great. The 14-15 season, the team won just 16 games. They went 16-66. Garnett only played 5 games after the trade due to injuries and, rest obviously being part of that. Rookie Andrew Wiggins was 19 years old, played in all 82 games, started all 82 games that year. As mentioned, Rubio had a lot of injuries, only played 22 games. Kevin Martin only played less than half the season. Corey Brewer was traded in December. Mo Williams was traded away. Pekovic only played 31 games. And there were only 3 guys on the roster that played in more than 70 games that year. Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine played in 77 as a rookie, and Gorgui Dieng played in 73. And that was it. There were a lot of injuries. There were a lot of trades. And the team won just 16 games. But in the offseason that year, there was a little bit of hope. The Timberwolves did end up with the number one pick. It was the only time in franchise history that they've won the number one pick in the lottery. And Flip Saunders avoided taking Jahlil Okafor, instead took Karl Anthony Towns, and then made a trade later in the draft, packaged a couple of picks to trade up and take Tyus Jones in the late first round. He traded, exactly what he traded was the rights to Chetty Osman and Rakeem Christmas to the Cavs and another second round pick. So really, three picks to get Tyus Jones in the late first round ended up being a pretty good trade. And Tyus Jones was a solid backup for the Wolves for a few years. And so bringing in Towns, bringing in Tyus Jones, they also signed Nemanja Bjelica, the former second round pick. He finally came over, signed a 3-year deal. The Wolves also signed Andre Miller and Tayshaun Prince to be mentors to Ricky Rubio and Andrew Wiggins and Zach LaVine, that trio. And Garnett, of course, was there to be a mentor to Karl Anthony Towns. And things really seemed to be setting up really nicely for Flip Saunders and for the Timberwolves, as this was all just kind of part of his master plan to bring this young group of really 19 and 20 year olds. Remember, LaVine and Wiggins at this point were about to turn 20. Towns was about to turn 20, but was going to be a rookie. And the Wolves had this interesting old, group of guys on the roster and young group of guys on the roster. There wasn't a whole lot in between. There was a lot of hope that season heading into the fall. Unfortunately, Flip Saunders became seriously ill, had cancer, and got had to take a leave in September of 2015, and completely unexpectedly, just 5 or 6 weeks later, passed away just the weekend before the start to the season, tragically. And Sam Mitchell had been named interim head coach just prior to that, so the Wolves started the season with obviously heavy hearts. Ryan Saunders was on the bench as an assistant coach at the time, and Garnett, of course, still on the roster. So the Wolves started the season with Sam Mitchell as head coach. Mitchell, of course, remained throughout the year as interim head coach, and that team won 29 games, went 29-53. Looking at that roster, it was largely the same roster as the year before, plus a couple of those veterans, obviously rookie Karl Anthony Towns, and adding guys like Prince and Andre Miller, who were really kind of fringe contributors to this team. But the health of Ricky Rubio mattered a lot. He played in 70 some games that year after playing in just 22 the year prior. And adding Karl Anthony Towns, slight improvements from rookie year to sophomore year for Wiggins and LaVine, and this team won 13 more games that following season. It's not like the offense or defense changed a whole lot under Sam Mitchell, but each of those players improved a little, and the team was relatively healthy compared to the previous year. Next up, I want to talk about the balance of the 2015-16 season, a couple of box scores that year, and what happened leading out of that season into the following era in Timberwolves basketball. Before we do that, I did want to talk briefly about our friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, such as, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, which, by the way, literally happened to me less than 2 weeks ago with my Honda Odyssey at a store. And then you have to wait for the person at the counter to order the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry. You have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, or 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the best brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. One of the best things about the Flip Saunders era number two Minnesota Timberwolves, even that 16-win team, as well as the team that was then coached by Sam Mitchell the following year, is that they always got to the free throw line. As bad as they were offensively, or I guess overall, and as bad as they were at actually shooting three-pointers in the 16-win season under Saunders, the Wolves were the 30th ranked team out of 30, of course, in three-point attempts per game. Under Mitchell, they were 29th in attempts per game from three. But under Saunders, they were fourth in free throw attempts per game league-wide. And under Mitchell, they were second in free throw attempts per game league-wide and number four in free throw percentage. So they not only got to the line, but they made their free throws. And that's what kept their offense afloat. This was actually the 12th ranked offense in the entire league in 2015 and 16. They were horrible on defense. They were 28th. And that's to be expected with a rookie like Karl-Anthony Towns anchoring your defense, and Andrew Wiggins still not really knowing what he was doing on the perimeter as a wing defender, but still being tasked with some tough assignments. And Zach LaVine has never been a very good defender, and Kevin Martin was still getting minutes. So, of course, this team was going to be bad defensively, but they were actually pretty good on offense. And it's not because they were efficient three-point shooters. Andrew Wiggins was attempting 7 free throws per game, and he actually made 76.1% of them. You look at Andrew Wiggins' career, and this was the first 3 years he shot 76% from the line. Since then, he's been well under 70%. So this was kind of that middle year, actually technically his career high in terms of free throw percentage. But you had Wiggins attempting 7 a game. Rubio was attempting more than 4 a game and making nearly 85% clip. Kevin Martin in just 39 games was averaging 3.6 free throws a game and making them at 88%. And Karl-Anthony Towns was averaging 3.5 free throws a game as a 20-year-old rookie and made 81.1%. Started 82 games, shot 54% from the floor, only attempted a little over a three-pointer a game, but was shooting that at 34.1%. And this team had a good offense. Wiggins averaged 20.7 points a game, not much to write home about in terms of rebounding or assists. Towns averaged 18.3 points, 10.5 rebounds a game. You look at the improvement Andrew Wiggins made from year one as a 19-year-old to year two as a 20-year-old. This was actually his best leap in terms of 1 year to the next. He had another decent year after this, and then it kind of fell off a cliff once the Timberwolves added Jimmy Butler, and it was never quite the same for him. But year one to year two, Wiggins improved significantly. A big part of that was getting to the free throw line. He also started attempting a little bit more, a few more three-pointers, not a ton more. And while the rebounding wasn't quite as good as he was as a rookie, the assist percentage went up, the turnover rate went down, all while his usage rate was going up. And the biggest thing really was getting to the free throw line, using his athleticism to get into the paint. And for the most part, you know, he was successful when he got into the paint. And that was really important. But his effective field goal percentage, his true shooting percentage, all that stuff went up from year one to year two. And so he was a big part of that team's improvement from 16 wins to 29 wins, from 14-15 to 15-16. Towns was, of course, the rookie of the year. So that gave the Wolves rookie of the years in back-to-back seasons, as he averaged 18 and 10.5. And he was clearly this team's best all-around player. You had Kevin Martin only playing half the season before he was traded. Wiggins played 81 games, but again, struggled with some of his efficiency. And Petkovic only played 12 games. Kevin Garnett ultimately only played 38 games, but was a starter when he was healthy. The Wolves ended up trading, or actually they ended up releasing Andre Miller and Kevin Martin to allow them to sign with the Spurs and wrap up their careers playing for a playoff contender. But they were pretty fringe players of the Wolves rotation prior to them being moved. This season was overall obviously just tragic, losing Flip Saunders just prior to it. But there was a lot of hope in terms of the player development this year. And there's a lot to be said about, or a lot of questions, I guess, related to the firing of Sam Mitchell on the final day of the season in mid-April. The Timberwolves actually won their last game of the year easily. They beat the New Orleans Pelicans by 35 points. Immediately afterwards, owner Glenn Taylor dismissed Sam Mitchell as interim head coach. It was not hard to see that coming, although there were some Timberwolves fans, and I'd include myself in this group, that were concerned that the Wolves would stick with Sam Mitchell because he was seen as kind of the status quo. He was obviously one of Flip Saunders' favorite assistants. He'd played for Flip Saunders as a player for many years and had a close relationship with Kevin Garnett, who was still under contract. So there was this thought that perhaps Mitchell comes back. This team won 4 of their last 5 games of the season. They won their last game by 35 and had beaten the Golden State Warriors in Golden State This is the Warriors team that had just won the championship the year prior. So there was a lot to be said about how this season ended for the Wolves. And there were also good coaches on the market. Tom Thibodeau was available. There were some other attractive coaches who could be had for the Wolves. And so I was concerned the Wolves would stick with Mitchell and not even really consider looking elsewhere. I was surprised when they fired him immediately after the season, didn't even really wait and, you know, allow him to say his piece or anything like that. And I think that that actually negatively impacted some of the guys on the roster who, you know, in some ways, like Sam Mitchell, I know that there was some things that came out that players thought he was too hard on them, et cetera, et cetera. But then, of course, enter Tom Thibodeau, and I think that got dialed up to an 11. Some of those qualities in Sam Mitchell are even more that way with Tom Thibodeau. So the Wolves bring in Tibbs only a few weeks later, really quickly after the season, and he takes over. Has a year where he takes over this roster and you know, improves the team a little bit. They went from 29 wins to 31 in the first year under Tibbs. And the roster doesn't change drastically in year one. It's basically the same team. And only improving two wins was a little bit disappointing. Tibbs gets impatient the following offseason. Of course, he pulls the trigger on the Jimmy Butler trade. Wiggins is never the same again. The Wolves make the playoffs, but Butler's injury issues drop them to the eighth seed. They lose in the first round, and then Butler forces his way out the following year. Tibbs is fired that season and only gets 3 years as Wolves coach. And a lot of that, you know, what happens if the Wolves don't fire Sam Mitchell? What happens if they hire him, or what happens if they work something out? They probably didn't think Ryan Saunders was ready to be head coach at that point, but what happens if they somehow get him to stay on staff and they have somebody else coach, or they give Mitchell another year and they work something out where they know they're going to phase him out in the future, but allow him to continue to develop the talent? What does that look like if it's done differently? I think at the time, myself, along with many other Wolves fans, would have been really upset. But we have no idea how things would have gone down. Would Tanza turn into an all-star as quickly, you know, that following year as he did under Tom Thibodeau? And would he be even better now? We don't know. Would Wiggins have been better? Who knows? But that's one of the greatest what ifs, I think, in Wolves history is, what if Tom Thibodeau isn't hired as head coach? Maybe things go the other way and the core doesn't develop, and maybe Wiggins leaves, is traded earlier. Maybe Towns is even traded. Probably not, but you never know. And this team maybe still hasn't made a playoffs instead of making the one with Jimmy Butler. Or maybe the core develops together and is a more consistent playoff contender instead of now being kind of on the, hopefully coming out of yet another rebuild, although this one would have been much more rapid with the D'Angelo Russell acquisition and all the changes Gerson Rosas has made in 13 months on the job. But does this look significantly differently if Sam Mitchell isn't fired so immediately, or certainly if Lip Saunders doesn't tragically pass away the year before? What's the vision of this team look like? Is Kevin Garnett part of the ownership group now, as had been planned? Is Lip Saunders in the front office with Ryan Saunders still coaching? Does Lip Saunders hire like a Jeff Van Gundy or somebody to coach the team? You know, what would have happened, and what would this team look like if Saunders hadn't passed away? And all of those things happened in that span of the 14-15 into the 15-16 season. So many changes in such a short span of time. Karl-Anthony Towns coming into the fold, of course, being the biggest one of those changes and impacting the Wolves for the foreseeable future. Time will only tell what the end of Towns' career in Minnesota looks like. Hopefully he's right in the middle of it, and hopefully there's a playoff appearance that we'll be able to talk about, you know, just more than 12 months from now, in the 2020-2021 season. Although I guess we still have to wrap up the rest of the 2019-20 season as well, whether or not there's Timberwolves games as part of that. But at any rate, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Wolves. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.